Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, this is Man Baggage. I'm Russell Kane. This is the safe space where we gather men together, we drill down into their heads, and we try to find out what makes men tick, how their brains work. It came out of an era where people were saying, why don't men talk to each other? Why don't men ever say what they're feeling and exchange their feeling? So we were going to sit in that area. But as soon as I went into that area, I realised it was dominated by a much needed sort of emotionally literate group of men wearing cardigans, dipping biscuits in their tea, ready to share. And it excluded a hardcore rump of normally working class men who aren't ready to share without the lube of banter and humour. That doesn't mean we're just here for frippery. The types of things we've spoken about, we've gone there with suicide. One of our female guests has talked about miscarriage. We do go to the heavier subjects. We're not scared to be weighty, but we're always leveraging it with a slight glaze of humour. If you know anything about men, or if you want to know anything about men, just head to their WhatsApp group and see how the difference between how men and women interact. Women, even if they're bantering, look at this, this is funny, here's David Beckham with his kit off. Becky's like, I'm feeling lonely, Dave's left me. Boom, side group, take care of the girls. Prosecco ambulance, Becky's house. Is Becky okay? Side chats. We better save Becky. Whereas the blokes group is, you know, banter, banter. Here's some Paul. My wife's left me. Never mind. Here's a goat being wanked off in China with no acknowledgement. So we need to use humour as a little doorway in. And that is today's subject. We're going to tackle it on the nose. Humour. We're going to look at how men use humour, how women use humour. Is there a gender difference? I think there probably is. Probably. Feel free to cancel me. I could do with the ticket sales. I couldn't. Sold out. And I'm joined by an amazing comedian. I can't actually believe I've lured him into my man baggage lair, ready to milk my man baggage sack of all its viscous insight. It's Chris DiStefano.
Hello.
He's smashing it like someone with a hammer and concrete on MDMA. That's yes. How hard you're smashing it, bro. Selling out all over the country. You're only here visiting. We haven't got you for long. We can, of course, get more of you in your podcast, Chrissy Chaos. We can see you in your Netflix special.
Yes.
But how are you finding us tea-stained losers?
First of all, you just talked for 5 minutes. I don't know what you said. You said the word frippery, and I've never heard that in my life. And I know I'm a dumb American, but literally frippery is a word that I will now use for the rest of my life. My boy James here. James, make frippery merch, please. We're going to put frippery on merch.
It's actually a type of anal rimming in California, I've just been told in my earpiece.
Oh, good. So I should know about it then.
Don't use it in San Francisco or you will be entered with a tongue.
But, dude, I love it. Punchline. I, Russell, you don't know this, but in 2012 was the first time I came to London, you know, doing just pretty much open mics, trying to run around. Didn't know anything. I was like, let me just come to the city and do it. And then I put on the TV and I saw you hosting live at the Apollo, which I had no idea what that meant. You know, for me in New York, the Apollo Theater is like a theater up in Harlem where, like, you know, you get booed off. If, you know, if you suck, you get booed off. Mm. It's not like prim and proper. It's like a different thing. And I was like, who the hell is this guy? Who is this guy? He's at the Apollo. And I didn't understand that the Apollo is a big thing in London. I remember you just like killing it and crushing it. And I remember the comics. I was like, do you know who this guy Russell Kane is? And they were like, yeah, of course. Do you not know who he is? And I was like, no. And I felt like a fucking idiot. And then it was my goal in life. I swear to Christ, I was telling James, my goal in life for the past 10 years, because I have a crazy head. So my head was like, I got to keep getting up. I'm going to meet Russell. I'm going to meet Russell one day. I swear to God, I was like, I'm going to keep going up, and I'm gonna meet it. And I swear, there have been times, I swear to Christ on my kids, which I would never lie, I've been sitting in like Cincinnati, Ohio, just being like,
God, that's what Jerry Springer.
I'm gonna fucking sell. I'm gonna keep going. I'm gonna meet Kane one day. And it's and it was just.
I
simply,
can't tell if this is an.
I
character.
Swear to God, because I was
is this
sitting
your
in my. I swear to Christ,
Stefano Christopher.
I was sitting in my hotel. I was sitting in my hotel of fucking Holiday Inn Express bullshit. Wherever I was, I literally was watching TV, and then my mind was just like,
that's crazy.
That's what I'm, because I've always had this dream. I don't know why. To just be like, I just want to sell out. I just want to sell tickets in the UK. And I think back then I was like, Russell Kane's gonna, he's gonna help me.
Fucking hell.
But now I don't need you.
If only I was American, I could enjoy the praise. Instead, I feel really awkward and wish it had never happened.
No, I know.
Mean, the whole country has low self-esteem issues.
No, so do I. No, listen. So do I. I believe I'm a piece of garbage. Always will. But it's just, it was a thing.
You could
that,
probably get an English passport pretty quickly then.
Yeah.
But that's one of the first things on the nationality check is, do you think you're a piece of shit? And then that's the primary thing you need to enter the country.
Yeah, so I always secretly.
That's amazing. Well, thank you. So I should probably introduce as well for people listening. It will be, I would love it personally if we lived in a world where two men could just sit there talking about men's brains, getting to the bottom of what men's thinks. But the reality is we would drift into sexist generalizations. Well, you know what men are like and women are like. And we just can't do that. Not in 2022 when we're recording this. We need a strong female presence, a lady auditor to call bullshit on any generalizations we might drift into. And that today is Lindsay Kane, someone who I'm, you know, banging in that. Well, actually married, but, you know, it's still obvious that still happens. Let's not analyse it, but, you know, Lindsay is the guest. Welcome, Lindsay.
Hello.
And there's actually Lindsay who's been bugging me to get you on.
What?
She's like, Chris is in the country.
Yeah. Look at that.
It's like a daisy chain of love.
I said to Raymond, I was like, he's coming to UK, see if we can get him.
Thank you, Lindsay. You made my dreams come true.
I'm so glad that
Look at Lindsay Kane. And biological female? We're all biological males and females. I just want to be
yeah,
careful.
Biological female.
England's woke. I mean, London's a woke city. Really? I didn't realize. I mean, because New York is, you know, wild, but London is like it's. I mean, I was yesterday in Trafalgar Square, and protesters were glued themselves to the street.
That's happened today again.
And stopped traffic.
Yeah.
And the one guy had a sign. It said LGBTQ. And climate change. And I didn't, I was like, what do you think the climate made you gay? What? I had no idea like what was happening and glued themselves to the street. And I was like, honestly, I was like, for real, I was like, this is why your police should have guns. Because in New York, you're not, you glue yourself to the street, watch what happens. If you block traffic for five minutes.
It's easier for the policeman to hit you if you're.
Dude, a taxi cab driver would come out and hit you with a fucking baseball bat because, you know, this guy makes $10 a year.
Home run.
And if he doesn't get his person to the airport, he can't feed his family. He's going to have to honor kill himself. So you want to glue yourself to the floor to protest climate change, or you're just going to get a bat to the head. But here, the police were talking to them, offering them water. I was like, you should pour hot water on them to melt the glue off.
That would still be called hate water from the people. take your hate water away from my face.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough about lesbian fracking. We're here to talk about humor, of which we're both master practitioners. So, I mean, this feels totally ridiculous, but I always like to start with a definition. So the humour is the quality of being a music or comic, especially as expressed in literature or speech. But we know it goes much further than that. I'm going to ask you a difficult question
that
could easily get us cancelled in woke London. But do you think men enjoy being humorous more than women? Do you think we enjoy messing around and joking? We're talking about 18 and above here. Adult men seem to enjoy fucking about more. Women.
I think that men, personally, I think we like comedy more because I think we're probably a bit more insecure than women are. Our egos are way bigger. So I think laughter is like a way, kind of like disarms, you know, the other guy I'm talking to. It disarms myself. Like it kind of like limits our ego a little bit, where I think women are, you know, can be very funny, but I think women are just always women are always in protection mode. Women are always like, I don't have time for fun and games. If you get near my children, I'll kill you. If you try to touch my breasts, I'll kill you. They're very much like, I'm guarding the children at all times. Where men were always like, you know, just with like clubs, being like, I'll get you meat.
Or,
you know?
Well, hold on a second. I've got a pun on pedophile. Give me a second. I'm going to pun on what you're doing first. Hold on.
So I think humor, I think it's just a genetic, visceral, like DNA thing. Like we're just different that way because our roles are different in the universe.
Do you agree with that, Lindsay?
Yeah, no. I think women probably care more how they're perceived. Like, I've got a friend who's really funny. She's so funny, but she won't do it because of sort of like family dynamics and background, and she's worried, like, oh, if I say the truth about certain things, like, she finds it really funny, but she doesn't want to upset her, like,
so
family.
That's quite profound. So we're saying that men need more reassurance and bigger egos need to do humour more, but when you step up to the plate to do humour, women care more about what
I
people
think so.
Think.
And then, like,
but those two things almost make a pair.
Whereas, like,
opposites.
My mum would be like, oh, I listened to last week's podcast, it was really good. And I'm like, don't stop listening, because I say stuff that I don't want you to hear. Whereas he couldn't give a shit what his mum, like, yeah. he doesn't care what anyone, like, he just wants people to laugh.
Yeah, like, I guess that is true. Like, anytime my mom listens, she's like, Christopher, why do you say those words? And I'm just like, I don't know where, I would never, like, not, my
what
mom.
What was the word, Republican?
Right, yeah. You could tell by my haircut what I am. I was not approving of the protesters. No, I'm kidding.
You've got a passport, we know you're a Democrat. I mean, it's literally illegal to own a passport if you're a Republican, is that
true? I know, yeah, they're trying to take it. Well, not where I live. I live in Staten Island, New York, so it's like, it's like a little freedom village that we have. It's a big bridge to get over, and, like, you know, you can it's an interesting place. You guys should come to Staten Island.
Okay. Yeah,
I think you'd like it.
Yeah,
I can't wait to be processed.
They wouldn't know what the hell to do with you. They were like, what is this, who's this gay English guy?
And then I'd be
running
gone.
Around with his long sleeves.
Hey, he's dancing away, what's happening, Brad?
Shoot him.
What about the different types of humor? Because obviously I do humor for a living. Yes, I come from a council estate. You would say a welfare estate, but I've read my way out. So I got out via literature. So unbelievably, I have a good degree in English, even though I sound like I should be on spring break lighting a Sambuca on my bum hole while my mate drinks it out. But I've got
a good day.
I've got a degree in English. And yet, if she hears me crying with laugh, I mean crying like when you were 14, before she even comes in, she knows I'm watching a video with someone farting or slipping.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
shit.
100%.
Yeah.
So what do you think? It's like there's different types of humour that men laugh at compared to women. I'm not saying women don't laugh at fart. We've laughed at fart humour together many a time.
I saw laugh at you laughing at it.
I almost think that fart jokes are so funny and, like, not, you can't, there's nothing better. It's almost like God designed it that way. Like, that's why he designed an asshole tight and small and gas to come out, because he's like, there's nothing funnier than that sound. Because he could have designed it any way he wanted to not make it sound. But so the way it shoots out like that is like, it's literally designed to hit chemicals in our brains to be like, what's funnier than that? That's why, like, George Carlin is my favorite comic from America, because he would do, like, a joke about, like, you know, how, like, HIV and AIDS is, like, taking over the planet and policy and this and that, and then a fart joke, immediate fart joke. Yeah. And, you know, I'm like, oh, that's, like, that's brilliant. But fart jokes are, yeah, I think, I don't know that I've ever laughed harder than someone farting. I'm trying to think, no, it's just farting.
Yeah. Or sort of like a pet falling over or a dog running into a wall.
Not even
like
that.
Basic shit.
Unless one of my farts knocked it over, it wouldn't be as funny.
What about when a cat uses a litter tray but the bum doesn't fully cut off the poo and then it runs away from its own poo even though it's hanging out of its ass? I thought I was going to have an asthma attack and I don't have asthma.
Yeah.
It's running away from its own attached shit.
But, like, I don't think that farting, I don't even think it should be looked at as immature. It's like, I mean, whatever makes you laugh makes you laugh. I think we as comics have made fart jokes not cool.
I mean, there is that saying, isn't there, that something or other is the lowest form of wit. But where did this class system of humour emerge from?
There's, I was going to say, probably a woman. I'm like, I don't want to listen to farts. Like, but I just laugh at you laughing at them.
What sort of humour do you find amusing then?
Are you? Like, you actually really make me laugh.
Indeed.
You do. I'll have, like, an image in my head and I won't be able to sort of say it, so it's
so
funny.
Observational,
but
you mean?
Yeah, but then you'll say it and you'll describe exactly what I'm thinking in my head, but you just make it funny.
What about the cultural differences in America versus the UK? Because as soon as I started performing in the UK, it shocked me how few Americans are on the circuit here. Loads of Canadians, loads of Australians, loads of Kiwis. We have Indian, we have South African comics, we have Irish comics. It can't be how far away the country is and the size of the population, because there's so many Aussies here, which is 24 hours away. And I think about 15 million people live in Australia.
Right.
There's obviously the Venn diagram of the overlap between American and British humour is smaller than other cultures, but it's confusing because we both speak English.
Well, yes. Yeah. So, but it's different kinds of English. Like, you, like, even when I was watching you, I was like, on TV, I was laughing at your mannerisms. I was like, this guy is just high energy. I love him. But the words, I was like, I don't know what he's saying. I understand it's killing because I hear the crowd laughing and I'm actually laughing, but I don't know what he just said at all. I just felt like I got shot out of a cannon when I watched it. I was like, woo! I was like, that was fun.
That's going on the poster.
But the words are different. But I think what's happened now, like, like specifically in comedy is, you know, I've come here multiple times, never could sell any tickets because I was always going like whatever, the standard television, trying to be on TV in America and all those things. And then it's kind of like changed now. Like now it's like niche, right? So podcasting, internet, all that stuff is niche. I'm speaking to specific groups of people. So the rest maybe don't know who I am, but the small group that does, they will come and buy. And now all my shows sell out because it's not that, like being generally famous or trying to get the general population doesn't work anymore in comedy. It's the niche people. So last night my shows in London, you know, were all sold out with people that know what I'm saying. I'm talking about the things that I talk about in the podcast. And yes, they live in the UK, but they've been listening to me. They know my language and I know theirs.
Yeah.
So tonight I'll see, you know, if I pop into Top Secret where people don't know who I am, does the material work or not? But like, because I feel like you probably came up in when it was, you could be very successful as you are being generally famous, like getting on television, doing that. That didn't really, my class of comics, there's still is a pipe dream where they're like, oh, I'm going to get on Saturday Night Live. I'm going to get on TV. And they sell no tickets. They wind up like becoming waiters where the ones who are podcasting, internet, not as cool, not as sexy, you know, it's thousands of tickets. Our lives have completely changed.
To be fair, that's what I'm having to do now to sustain the business model. I mean, I get the TV gigs, but I don't chase them. I'm more working on my social media.
But you did it the right way, because I think still, like, I never really got the big TV opportunities. I'm getting the opportunities on the internet. But it is good to do it. Like, you have that established base on TV, and now you're getting the fans this way through the new medium. I think it's best to have a balance of both, but I think you will see much more American comedians coming here now just because of podcasting.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So, Linz, my theory is the main difference is on confidence. So, but if you step off an aeroplane in America and start cracking jokes using words that Americans understand, they find it funny if you're slating where you're from and slating yourself. Whereas what I've noticed with American people, there's a confidence, whether it's real or not. So, for example, I could quite easily get off a plane in Boston and go, I love this city, and I'd probably get a cheer.
They'd love it.
Try that in, just fucking try it in London and see what happens.
If I said I love London?
Yeah, of course you fucking do, mate. Now, give us a joke so someone's going to get hurt.
Yeah, like that.
But if you came on and went, London, my God, there's some real fucking shit bits, you'd be like, tell us more.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, an American person would be, I'd day for one goddamn grain of sand. My town might look like much, buddy, but I definitely wouldn't get in. Whereas I reckon King Charles is actually walking around Buckingham Palace going, what a shithole. Get back in the cellar, Andrew, you nonsense.
Yeah. Well, I feel like Americans, we would, like you said earlier in the podcast, you said that people think your accent is like stupid, and you sound like the smartest person I've ever heard in my life. Just because you have an English accent.
Yeah, we love that, because we got off the aeroplane and we were like, oh, can I have a beer? Oh my God, are you royal? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I'll finger you by the dumpster if you like. Oh my God, are you related to King Charles?
Yeah. No, seriously, we all would. We would love it. Because it's you're like a novelty. There's just too many people in America. It's too fucking big.
So Lindsay, that's my question. Sort of, just when it comes to women, is it the confidence that's in humour that's attractive? Because it is. There is a bit of a question.
What do you mean, like what a woman finds attractive in a man?
But what is it that's good about humour? I mean, what?
So weirdly,
it's one of those things. Like painting, it's like if it disappeared tomorrow,
So growing up, my mum always used to say, find somebody who makes you laugh. How weird that I've ended up marrying a comedian.
Yeah.
But she used to say that just life will get tough. But if you find someone that can make you laugh, it makes life a lot easier. And, you know, we do, don't we? We always laugh our way out.
Well, I think it probably makes you feel safe, right? When a guy can make you laugh or you know, you feel like, okay, like he's a nice guy or my endorphins are going with him. And it's probably like some type of neurochemical thing where like when a woman laughs or when we laugh, it's like, it's just, I think it's all disarmament. I think it's all kind of knocking down our Neanderthal brain and being like, okay, we can relax here. Things are safe. We're in a little safe space. It's probably that.
But do you think, though, that back in, as we emerged as lungfish from the primordial sludge, nice, on our route to becoming Homo sapiens, at some point, humour must have been selected as a trait for mating. Otherwise, it wouldn't exist.
Funny. Oh, yeah, 100%.
So at some point, the woman must have gone, I love your club, Gary. I love your six-pack. And there'd be, like, Louis Benkelstein in the corner with his glasses being funnier, and he's still getting the girl.
Right.
That must have happened back in the cave days. And the only purpose I can think of it served was not just endorphins and made a woman feel nice. It must, or a man, it must have had a survival benefit, i.e., if people are coming out, you know, on a night out, if me and you are in a bar, and we've got the table and it's all popping and the bottles and we're bringing the giel to the table, which actually obviously happens instantly as soon as I entered the club. But if that's happening and some guys go like, oh, look at these two flash fuckers, let's go and cause some trouble. We've probably got quite a high chance of not being punched in the face by using humour to disarm. So one must assume that back in the day, our infants were more likely to survive a marauding neighbouring tribe. Because, well, just before you hammer in my newborn's head, have you heard the one about?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
And maybe that's what led to it. I mean, it must have had a serious survival benefit.
I never thought about the survival benefit of humour, but you're right. I mean, it has to be something deep in life. It's all chemicals. I think it has to be something in the chemicals.
So can I ask, when you have, if you have an argument with your missus, do you use humor to get out of a bad box?
I'm trying to use humor during the argument. I'm just always trying to, she will always say though, she's like, it's not funny. What you're doing, it's not funny. This is no time for joking. And then I'll just continue to joke.
Swilling a helicopter.
Until she fucking laughs.
You're going to tell me that's not funny? Hmm? My balls are hitting my belly button. Not funny, apparently.
I'll just keep going until she laughs at something, you know?
And then, so then we come to how men talk to each other.
Yeah.
So obviously we've got football on both sides of the Atlantic as two men sit down who don't know each other. The first stop is football. If you don't like football, the next stop is humour.
Right.
It's like we have a proxy side language, whereas I know this sounds so sexist and I don't mean all women, but a lot of women, you could quite happily sit down with them, what's your name? Have you got kids? Really? And that's the day I've had. And they're having conversations of substance quite quickly.
Right.
Where it's almost like we have to have like a palate cleanser, you know, like a melon sorbet of humour before we can get into the main course of whatever we want to talk about.
Yeah, I feel like sports and humour, they're like the great equalizers. Like the neighbourhood I grew up in, pretty relatively rough neighbourhood, and you know, you had to play, if you play basketball, you could just be okay. And I learned to play ball to, you know, talk to my friends. And then when I was on the basketball team and I was on a very good team, I used humor for the best players to, you know, pay attention to me. I remember being a little kid and asking my mom, I was like, Mom, like, what do you think like my best talent is? And I wanted her to say basketball so bad. I wanted to be like, your jump shot. But she was like, your sense of humor, that's what it is. And I was like, no, it's not. And then I was like, you know, but now I realize like, being funny is subjective. Like some people think we're funny, some people don't, I get it. But just having that sense of humor, I feel blessed to have that. And I think my kids have that, because like the people that don't have that, it's like, what a dull shit life if you can't laugh at stuff.
Do you think men that don't have that are more vulnerable? I'm assuming the stats are similar the other side of the Atlantic, but men kill themselves 7 times more often than women here. So the male suicide rate in the United Kingdom is 7 times that of female. And I think one of the risk factors is men who can't use humour or sport to get through that surface. I think they're more at risk, don't you?
Yeah. I think sometimes like someone might not necessarily come to you, Russell, because they think that you can't be serious in a serious situation, even though you can.
Yeah.
But I think maybe, I don't know, maybe they think, oh, I'll go to Wayne because he's
so it could be threat. It could serious. Be off-putting. So there's like an optimal level of using humour with intimate acquaintances.
Yeah.
By the way, this has been studied, in case you think we're just saying men have more humour than women. And this has been studied countless times and no one ever likes the results. I'm not making up the results. And what's even better, it was the Aberystwyth University in Wales and the University of North Carolina together, Wakanda United, they analysed 28 studies which looked at how funny around 5,000 people were. They wanted to see whether the stereotype that men are funnier than women was true. And researchers found that 63% of men were funnier than the average woman.
I mean, it's a hard stat though, because being funny is so subjective.
Yeah.
Like
63%
of those men, you know, but it's like, I don't know. I think that my whole outlook on humanity is like, it's person to person. You can't generalize any group. So it's like, I have friends in my friend group that I think they're even funnier than me. They just don't do comedy, but you know, I'm more vulnerable than them, and they can talk to me because they know, like, you know, especially having like little daughters, I'm like, I can, like, you know, you can talk to me, you can get emotional with me, it's all good. Listen, the study is the study, but I just feel like it's too subjective comedy.
Well, let's put it in we know what men like, yeah? They're like crisps or chips, as you would say. Yeah. They're like sport, masturbating, farting, and shagging. That's the end of the list. There's nothing
else. And Bitcoin.
And Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Bitcoin and shaving their balls at the new entry in 2020.
Yes.
So given how much straight men seem to enjoy shagging, and gay men quite fond of it as well, from what I've heard, do you think that's why men might be more drawn to humour? Because they know funniness is extremely attractive to women. Let's unpack that. How attractive is an extremely funny woman to a man? I mean, we're going to have to go to some uncomfortable areas here, listeners. So feel free to switch off if you're some butthurt pussyhole that can't take chat.
I think a funny woman, it's very, very, very intimidating, because you're like, holy. I mean, you know, she's beautiful, she's funny, she's got a good job. It makes you feel like, well, why do you need me then? Sometimes women are so powerful where you're like, yeah, it'd just be easier to be gay, because you're like, this woman is just
that can happen. Can you bring some vodka, please?
Yes, there it is. Poppers. I mean, I have them at the hotel in Soho. But you know, it depends, right? For me personally, I like that my girlfriend actually doesn't like comedy at all. She doesn't like my comedy. She's like,
what?
That's your job. I don't give a shit. It's like, whatever, I raise the kids, we do other things together. She's like, go have your fun.
Wait a minute, she doesn't like your comedy or comedy.
Listen,
without meaning to be mean, what was the initial attraction?
I know, she's like, I like guys with big heads, just Neanderthal heads that look greasy. So I was like, oh.
All right, that's it then.
Yeah, it's not like I met her at a comedy show and met her at like a regular bar.
Could imagine that.
Old fashioned way. Well, what happened was is we met.
And you were like, a hair gel store. Yeah. I was buying like a crate of gel for me.
Yeah, I was buying marinara sauce. And, I was making pizzas in her ass.
Hey, what's your name?
but our story is we hung out, we had like a great night, you know, drinking, whatever, and we had sex on the first date, and that was our first daughter. So I knew her for 9 months, and we had a baby, like immediately. So a lot of things to like, so there's a lot
of... you weren't laughing much in that first night.
Yeah, I was like, oh boy.
You spent my white as a shit shitting yourself.
Yeah, I was like, here's my Puerto Rican child.
Can David Letterman just return my call at least, please?
Yeah. I know the pressure was on. I was like, yikes. So I was like, I really need Russell Cain now. I need to make money. But it's interesting because I actually like it better personally that she doesn't, you know, really care for my comedy. And she actually, the people she thinks funny are complete opposite of what I would talk about. And, you know.
Is it like your best friend, Brad?
No, she loves like Hannah Gadsby and like people
she's
like.
She's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Is she big in the States now?
Big in the States now. Yeah, Hannah Gadsby's fine. I have nothing, you know, I don't know her comedy. I know that her comedy's opposite of mine. But I like that Jasmine likes that stuff because it's like, for me, I think times when I've, you know, because there was a period of time where we broke up and we were just co-parenting and we were both dating again. And women that were like, you know, liked my comedy, it was like everything I said, they were like, is that a bit? Is that a joke? It gets very exhausting.
Yeah. Well, you can use that. Here's a joke. You can use that if you want. It's like, No.
I'll never use it. Jasmine is like, very much.
Mid-shag. Are you doing a bit now? Please.
Yeah.
I'm trying to spaff off. Can you stop talking?
So does Jasmine find you funny in general? Like, does she laugh at you in general?
I think, yes. There's been many times where she's laughed at me. And I think, you know, part of it, like the attraction or whatever. I think, yeah, she probably wouldn't have sex with me if she didn't think I was somewhat funny, or at least, I mean, I guess we were both pretty drunk the first time, but she's, you know, whatever, and we have a kid, so she has to stay with me now.
Yeah,
but
it's almost a rom-com, isn't it? Beautiful.
We got two kids now. I know, we broke up, then the pandemic happened, we got back together, had sex again for the first time in 3 years, had another child. So yeah. It's just like crazy. She definitely does, but I don't want to say she's supportive of me. I mean, you know, our family is great and our kids have a good life and all that because my career, but I would say, like, she wouldn't, like, if she didn't know me and she saw my special, she'd be like, he's not for me.
I mean, it's so different from how we met. Lindsay was in the front row of my comedy show and I just said, get in the van.
That's
that,
it?
Yeah, that was it.
My mum and dad were fans of his. So it was a Christmas present. I got tickets for them to go and see his show. Yeah. And then my friend had a friend that worked at the theatre and said, oh, you're going there tonight. I'll get her to reserve seats for you.
Yeah.
And then they put us on the front row and that was that.
So she made it through to what I call the wristband room.
Yeah.
It was 10 other girls there. And over a period of 3 months, she made it through to judges' houses in the live finals.
Wow.
And the final audition was a double piston.
There it is. Congratulations. Look at that.
Okay, guys, we're going to take a break there. That's the end of part one of this discussion.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.